Earth's journey complete. Sacrifice marks the day. Feeble earth as a spread. Lights the believer's way. Feeble earth as a spread. Lights the believer's way.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and marhaba to another wonderful episode of the series The Festival of Sacrifice in the beautiful month of Zulhijjah al-Haram. Alhamdulillah, I am in the company of the Muballighin of Da'wat Islami, Maulana Naushad Madani and Maulana Ziyad Madani, Hafizahum Allah. Alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful atmosphere. And as we are listening, birds chirping and most probably making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah azza wa jal, let's all of us make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we can continue with our topic of discussion today. And that is like father, like son. Yes, like father, like son, meaning Sayyidina Ismail ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, who was sacrificed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is the son of the great father, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, who sacrificed himself in the path of Allah azza wa jal multiple times, subhanallah. And the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the descendant from these two great personalities of Islam, the great prophets of Allah, Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, and Sayyidina Ismail ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Inshallah, the hamd we have chosen today, it is penned and written by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma. He says,
Wahi Rab hai jisne tujhko hamatan karam banaya hum bheek maangne ko tera rasta bataya tujhe hamd hai khudaya tujhe hamd hai khudaya tujhe hamd hai khudaya tujhe hamd hai khudaya wo kawari paak maryam wo nafakhtu fih kadam hai ajab nishan azam hai ajab nishan azam magar amina kajaya wahi sabse afzal aaya wahi sabse afzal aaya tujhe hamd hai khudaya tujhe hamd hai khudaya yahi bole sidra wale chamne jahan ke thale sabhi maine chhan dale sabhi maine chhan dale tere paaye ka na paaya tujhe yak ne yak banaya tujhe yak ne yak banaya tujhe hamd hai khudaya tujhe hamd hai khudaya hame raza tere dil ka pata chala ba mushkil dar roza ke muqabil wo hame nazar to aaya ye na pooch kaisa paaya ye na pooch kaisa paaya tujhe hamd hai khudaya tujhe hamd hai khudaya
sallu ala al habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's inshallah azza wa jalla not forget the remembrance and the praise of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in his glorious hadith, that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So let's recite together. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear viewers, alhamdulillah, as our topic of discussion today is the biography of Sayyidina Ismail ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, who is the worthy son of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Therefore, like father, like son, subhanallah. And we would discuss why they were alike in terms of sacrificing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, as we know, he is the eldest son of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, after making dua in the court of Allah azza wa jal for an offspring, he was married to Sayyida Sara radiallahu ta'ala anha, and they couldn't have children. And then finally he married Sayyida Hajira radiallahu ta'ala anha, and after marrying her, she conceived Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, and he got his first son through Sayyida Hajira radiallahu ta'ala anha. After that, after the son was born, there was some distaste between Sayyida Sara radiallahu ta'ala anha and Sayyida Hajira radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then Allah Azza wa Jal's wisdom, subhanallah, His divine plan is such, He commanded Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam to take the wife and child, meaning Sayyida Hajira radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the son Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, and to go and leave them in the land of Makkah Mukarramah. Subhanallah. At that time, there was no vegetation in the city of Makkah. It was a barren land. There was not even a source of water there. And then Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he embarked on this journey. And just where the well of Zamzam is situated, there was a tree there. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam went and left the wife and child, meaning Sayyida Hajira radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the child Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, who was still a baby. And after leaving them there, he left a bag of dates and he left the skin of water with them. And he began to leave from there. Sayyida Hajira radiallahu ta'ala anha, not knowing as to what's happening behind the scenes, why is he leaving us? So she asked him quite a few times, why are you leaving us here? What is the matter? And then Sayyida Hajira radiallahu ta'ala anha, finally she asked Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, is it the command of Allah azza wa jal? Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam turned back and said, yes, it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave you and my son here. And subhanallah, after that, look at the reliance of Sayyida Hajira radiallahu ta'ala anha in Allah Azza wa Jal. She says, if that is the case, then we know for sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not waste us. Allahu Akbar. And she never said one word of complaint. But here, the test of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was tested multiple times. He was tested by the fire of Namrud. He was tested by the angels when he was granted the epithet of being the Khalil and the close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he is being tested, Allahu Akbar, after having a son, subhanallah. And that too, he had to forsake his wife and child and go to a different land. But it was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being a close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wasn't going to put down a command of Allah azza wa jal, Allahu Akbar. And he embraced all the tests without questioning. And look at the wife of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sayyida Hajira radiallahu ta'ala anha. She too, without any questions, ifs or buts, she takes it on faith, Allahu Akbar, that if this is the command of Allah azza wa jal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after them, Allahu Akbar. After she took shelter in that, under that tree, and she was getting by eating those dates that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had left with her, and drinking that skin of water that was left by Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, there came a time when the supplies, the food and water both ran out. And then she went in search of water for her son, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, because she was breastfeeding Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. And due to there being no water in the system, even the milk in the breast stopped producing, and she had to go in search of water. She looked everywhere for a source of water. There was no water. And then she went to Mount Safa, looked there for water. There was no sign of water. Then she came back, then went again. And like this, she went back and forth 7 times, subhanAllah. And thereafter, the water appeared by the kick of an angel that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or it is mentioned in some narrations that the angel struck the ground with its wing, and that's when the spring of Zamzam emerged. Allahu Akbar. Then Sayyida Hajar radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she came back and she saw that the spring of Zamzam is flowing, mashallah, and then she tried to make a pool kind of set up there. She dug the ground a little further and it became like a pool, or formed a well, subhanallah. And this is how the well of Zamzam came about, subhanallah. She filled her water skin, and then after that she started to live there. As we have mentioned, that there was no other population or vegetation there in the city of Makkah, but where there is water, the creation comes, subhanallah. As we see, the animal instincts, animals, birds, four-legged animals in the jungles, they migrate quite a few times in a year in search of water from this side of the world to the other side of the world, subhanallah. And likewise happens with the human population as well. That's why you will see most of the greatest or the biggest cities are situated next to an ocean shore, Allahu Akbar, whether it is the city of Durban, city of London, and many other examples can be given, subhanAllah. And now, in the city of Makkah, where there was no source of water, thus there was no population. And then came a time when a caravan was passing by, and this was the caravan of the tribe of Jurhum. Those people came and saw the presence of water in the area, subhanAllah. So they also started staying there, Allahu Akbar. And this is how the population of Makkah Mukarramah grew. And then, subhanAllah, it was the divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Sayyidina Ismail ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu salam, he was nurtured there among those people, mashallah. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, from time to time, he would come to check up on them, how the family is, how the wife was doing, how the son is doing, subhanAllah. And Sayyidi, this is a great sacrifice of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu salam. You have the first son, after making dua, praying so much, and your dua gets answered, and then at infancy, you have to leave the same child alone with the wife. And it is so hard. I mean, fair enough if there was a population there, it was a city, and there was a source of income, you could have built a house for them. But no, his reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was such that he didn't look at any reasoning. That is what happens when we say sami'na wa ata'na. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, the qualities of those who truly believe in the divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are found saying sami'na wa ata'na.
In fact, Mulana Sahib, you mentioned about du'as. This beautiful du'a as found in the Quran of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, and especially for those who are desiring children, Rabbi habli min as-salihin, that, oh my Lord, grant me pious offspring, or offspring from the pious ones. And scholars have mentioned that when you're making dua for offspring, then this is the kind of dua that you make, not just for offspring, but for offspring that will be the coolness of your eyes, the offspring that will help you to further the deen, to uplift the deen. This is what Nabi Ismail alayhi salam did throughout his years. MashaAllah, you know, Nabi Ismail alayhi salam was actually born in Philistine. And as he's growing up, he was always by his father's side. Even his father was advanced of age. Still, at every step of the way, he showed his willingness. He was there as a moral support for his father. And is that not a lesson also for children of today? That, you know, no matter your parents are grown old, but still you give them that moral support. You be there for them. You know, you use kind words. You be available to assist them and help them, particularly when it comes to deen and living deen as well. Alhamdulillah Azawajal, Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, from his brother, Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam, all the prophets came from after this, all the prophets came from Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam. But Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, subhanallah Azawajal, why he has that little higher degree, that little higher status than his brother, is because from his offspring came the final prophet of Allah Azawajal, came Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Alhamdulillah Azawajal, Ismail alayhi salam is one of those elites amongst the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. And why we are remembering him? This is part of our heritage, part of our Islamic education, Islamic history as well. And of course, by remembering the pious people, we are hopeful the mercy of Allah Azawajal is descending upon us as well.
Ameen, ameen. Subhanallah, subhanallah. As the narration goes, that when we mention the Salihin, the pious predecessors, the mercy of Allah Azawajal descends. Subhanallah. See, the after Maulana Sahib has mentioned a little account of the worthy son, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, of a worthy prophet, subhanallah, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, that Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned his accounts and his praises in the glorious Quran. In at a place, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَعِيلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا. And remember Ismail in the book. He was indeed true in promise and was a messenger, a conveyor of the unseen news. Subhanallah. Look at the particular praise and the quality of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam that is highlighted in the glorious Quran by Allah Azza wa Jal himself, that he was indeed true in promise. Subhanallah. If that is one trait we could take, subhanallah, and that would be really living up to the standards of the beloved servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was a messenger and conveyor of the unseen news. Subhanallah. He is also classified by Allah Azza wa Jal as a prophet who conveys the news of the unseen. Subhanallah. Although all the prophets were steadfast in fulfilling their promises, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam is singled out in this verse because he was distinguished in this quality. For example, he pledged to his father that he should sacrifice him in accordance with the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he would find him patient. He was truthful in fulfilling this promise. Subhanallah. We have given you a little bit of hint as to what's going to come, inshallah Azza wa Jal. The next discussion that we are about to have is after the upbringing of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, and he was still in his youth when Allah Azza wa Jal tests both the father and the son, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sayyidina Ismail ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Sayyidi, what were those scenarios under which Allah Azza wa Jal commanded Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam? And perhaps if you could narrate this beautiful incident in the light of Quran as well. There are Quranic verses, inshallah Azza wa Jal. So we can get to know the authentic narration with regards to the socio-historic background of the Qurbani of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Indeed, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, as Maulana Sahib mentioned now, that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was gifted with a son. Imagine the love that this father had for his child. That alhamdulillah, now that very dua that I made to be blessed with progeny, with a son, Allah Azza wa Jal has accepted and given me that son. And then the test of leaving that blessed son and the mother of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, Sayyida Hajara radiallahu ta'ala anha, in Makkatul Mukarramah. And he had passed that test. As this blessed son was growing up, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam was a young man. And now Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was given a command by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding that very beloved son. In his dream, he was commanded that you are to slaughter the son, to sacrifice the son, to give the son in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He saw himself sacrificing his son and he understood. But when he saw this dream, at first he thought that, is this really a command, or is it that I'm being tricked by shaitan? Is shaitan trying to trick me? So that was the first night that he saw the dream. And he was pondering, he was thinking. And then the second night that he saw the dream, on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, when he saw it for the second time, he recognized that, no, this is indeed the command of Allah. Now I am being commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he had what we call the Arafah, the recognition of the command of Allah. And thus, the day also took the name of Arafah, because it was the day in which he recognized the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then on the third night, on the 10th night of Dhul-Hijjah, he saw the dream again, that I am sacrificing my son. And then he said, now I am to sacrifice my son. I am certain that this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a beautiful lesson here. We should pay attention. He went to his son Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam and told him, oh my son, indeed I see in my dream that I am sacrificing you, that I am slaughtering you. So you please tell me, what is it that you say regarding this? What is your opinion? He knows he's going to carry out the command. But now is the test of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, that the tarbiyah had taken place by the father. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had trained his son to submit to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, as he'd seen his father many times before submitting to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now he places the test before his son, that now is your turn, that you are to submit to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now let us see if this tarbiyah has paid off today. And Ismail alayhi salam says, Oh my father, do as you have been commanded. He knew the command is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do as you have been commanded, you will find me by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. You will find me from amongst those who are patient. Ismail alayhi salam, seeing the effects of the tarbiyah that he's given to Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, was so pleased that alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me with that pious offspring. Allah has blessed me with that son who submits to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the end of that journey, he is to slaughter, to sacrifice Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. But most definitely, shaitan doesn't leave us.
Master, just before you move further, about the dreams. Now, right. I think we should mention, today if I have a dream, something like this, or any parent out there, I'm not allowed to act upon such a dream.
Yes.
Because there's a big difference between our dreams and the dreams of Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam.
Yes, most definitely. The Anbiya alayhimus salam are special and chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who receive wahi. Wahi is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and wahi is such a revelation that shaitan cannot trouble the Anbiya alayhimus salam in that. He cannot cause a confusion. He cannot misinterpret or teach the Anbiya alayhimus salam anything wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals that wahi perfectly upon the hearts of the Anbiya alayhimus salam, and that wahi is to be acted upon. Now, we in our dreams, we do not receive wahi, because the wahi is for Anbiya alayhimus salam and we are not prophets of Allah. So we do not receive wahi. Yes, but believers can receive ilham, and that is an inspiration. But the ilham, the inspiration of that the believers receive, if they want to act upon it, it must be in line with the teachings of the sharia, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are not to take that such a dream and act upon it. But Ibrahim alayhi salam is the Nabi of Allah, and he receives a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thus he acted upon it. Nonetheless, shaitan did trouble them along the way, and as shaitan was troubling them, Ibrahim alayhi salam also taught us such lessons that we should fight the tricks of shaitan and we should not succumb to the tricks of shaitan. And Huzur, I would like to request that if Mulan Sahib can please share with us, how is it that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, in that difficult situation, taking his son to slaughter him and shaitan coming to stop him, we would think that is an ease, that I don't have to slaughter my son. But when shaitan came to stop Sayyidina Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam chased shaitan away. What was his method?
Well, he had actually physically thrown those stones against shaitan. And as a symbolism, we get the jabarat that are there, the big, medium, and the small ones. It's symbolic. So But, you know, scholars have mentioned when we are throwing those stones, then also we must in a way contemplate that we are stoning shaitan, because we need to fight shaitan. Obviously, not physically with the stones, but by not obeying shaitan, by not falling and submitting to his wasawis and his evil whisperings. That we obey Allah Azawajal and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we don't follow in the footsteps of shaitan. These are ways that we can be pelting shaitan as well, by not listening to his wasawis and by obeying Allah Azawajal. So as a symbolism, these jamarat, these pillars have been placed there. And today maybe some people, they go overboard and do other things by taking out their shoes or what have you.
They take out all their frustration.
This is the one that made me do wrong.
Open enemy.
True, shaitan is our open enemy. But at the same time, we must know that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had stoned shaitan. And he had made it symbolic that we are to reject shaitan. But that rejection can take place within every one of us. And how can that rejection take place? Shaitan is the one who places wasawis, or what we call waswasa, into our hearts. To disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To do wrong things. And if we listen to the waswasas of shaitan and obey him, then we have not truly rejected him the way Ibrahim alayhi salam taught us to reject him. We can stone shaitan as well in our own lives. It doesn't have to always be. Yes, on Hajj it would be with stones, with pebbles. But in our own lives, in our day-to-day lives, every time shaitan places a waswasa that we should do evil, we too can follow the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam by reading A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyy al-azim, and chasing shaitan away and making a firm intention that I am not going to obey shaitan and I'm going to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
In conjunction to reading those things, it's mentioned that if any evil thoughts enter the mind, or evil thoughts is from shaitan, then we should turn towards our left side and we should spit three times. Not with the saliva, in case somebody's standing there. Just the sound. And you know, with this in mind, that it's as if I'm spitting on the face of shaitan to chase him away. If any evil thoughts and desires come into the mind, into the heart, we should try to practice.
Subhanallah. So Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was actually really genuinely intending to sacrifice his son Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. And along the way, shaitan tried to trouble him. But when he tried to trouble him, Huzur, did Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, was he the only one who was troubled by shaitan? Or did shaitan use any other method to get to him?
Shaitan, well, he tried every other avenues that were there at disposal. Or if he is not getting joy by the father, he would go by the mother. But you know where your husband has taken your son? He said, no, they've gone to run some errands. And he said, no, he has taken to slaughter him. And he thinks, now look at how he's wording it. He assumes that it is the command of Allah. He says, if it is the command of Allah, then who are we? He is doing something very good.
Subhanallah.
If he is acting in accordance with the command of Allah subhanahu, then this is something very good, something virtuous. MashaAllah. He lost hope. And he comes to Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. He said, do you know where your father is taking you? He said, yes, he is taking me to the valley. He says, well, he assumes that he has received an inspiration, wahi, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he's slaughtering you and he is going to now act upon that command or that inspiration that he has received. He says, if that is the case, then subhanallah, I'm ever ready.
Allah Akbar.
So look at the enthusiasm of sacrifice. It is present in all three of them. Yes. The father, the mother, and the child. Thus, we say, apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Yes. Subhanallah. Like father, like son.
Subhanallah. And this shows us the effects of tarbiyah in the family. That if the head of the family is strong, strong in the sense of in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the effects of that obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also rub off onto the other members of the family. You find that the father who loves salah, he grows up a son who loves salah. The father who loves Allah grows up a son who loves Allah. And when the head of the family is one who is obedient to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you find the wife and the children also having such a strong love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that upon his word they are ready to give their lives. Subhanallah. This too is a beautiful example of Sayyidina Ismail ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. But eventually he did get to the point of slaughter, isn't it? Where he actually was going to slaughter. So when he got to that point of slaughter, when he was about to slaughter him, Huzur, can Huzur please paint that beautiful picture in our mind so we can understand and feel that as well.
Subhanallah, Sayyidi. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. Once he gave a solid reply to Shaitan and Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam did what was needed at the time, the Shaitan again tried to stop him at three junctures. And at all these three points, by the first jamara, second jamara, third jamara, stoned the Shaitan. The angel said, stone him. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam stoned him. So this is the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is destined to be disgraced. And who truly shows us how to show Shaitan its place? It is the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did what nobody could do. His Shaitan embraced Islam. Subhanallah. So yes, this is how we need to tame Shaitan. We need to tame our nafs. If we don't tame them, they're going to tame us. So which is it going to be? Inshallah, it's either we get an upper hand over them or they get upper hand over us. It is a push and pull battle. And inshallah, in this battle of truth and falsehood, the truth will prevail only if we stand and be steadfast on the truth, because we are on haq, we are on the deen of Islam, subhanallah. So let's do away with the waswasa and the whispers of shaitan, inshallah, azza wa jal. And finally, after chasing shaitan and its waswasa, and all three of them, the entire family, subhanallah, is taking a stand against shaitan. And now, finally, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he goes to the place where he is about to slaughter his own son, his only son, Sayyidina Ismail ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Sayyidi, what must have been the scenario at the time? I mean, the world has never seen such a spectacle where a father is slaughtering his own son for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah. You know, it's amazing. And especially for parents out there, if you contemplate and you think about it, when Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is laying down his darling son, you know, when this is a part of his body, it's a part of him. And his most beloved, the apple of his eye, the coolness of his eyes, he's laying him down. He knows what he's going to do. He doesn't have this intention or this thought in mind that, okay, I'm going to let the knife go and then there's going to be a replacement. And according to him, you know, this is the hukum of Allah azza wa jal, and I'm going to slaughter and sacrifice my son. And as he places the knife at that juncture, even then, Nabi Ismail alayhi salam is advising his father that turn your face away so you don't see the blood and, you know, you don't see the knife going through my throat. So still he's advising him, because it comes back to what Mawlana Sahib was talking about, the tarbiyah. This is how he was brought up. He was nurtured in this way. And so that's his mindset. And it comes back to us as well, that what kind of mindset do I have as a parent or as a grandparent, and what kind of mindset I want my children to have. That if we make them loyal to Allah azza wa jalla and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we'll, inshallah, we'll be on that right track. And we'll be subservient to the commands of Allah azza wa jalla.
Sayyidi, this beautiful miracle, we can say, this entire sacrifice, it was a miraculous event. First of all, something that has never happened in the history of mankind. It's about to happen. And that too is going to serve a lesson for a generation to come, from the time of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam till the last person who will live and die on this earth. It is an example for all of them, because this example was presented to the Sahaba ikram. When the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, what are these qurbanis? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the remembrance of your forefather Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam And mashallah, their teaching was passed on by the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam combined together with the teachings of Ibrahim alaihi salam and Ismail alaihi salam is continued until the day of judgment, subhanallah. And whoever got any sense of sacrifice, this event can serve as an example. If you are reluctant to sacrifice something in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at the sacrifice of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. Look at the sacrifice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sacrifices of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. And mashallah, the way they can portray or express the sense of sacrifice in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's unparalleled. The world has not seen the like of it ever and will never see. Truly. And Sayyidi, after he takes Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, his son, to slaughter him, and the son too is trying to be helpful. He knows that Abba is feeling it hard. Let me make it easy for him. Subhanallah. And he says that, you know what, you could do this rather, right? Tie me up so when I'm, you know, being slaughtered, it's natural for you to defend yourself and to, you know, kick your hand and legs and so on and so forth. So when that happens, my blood doesn't go onto your body, onto your clothes. And then he also said that you must sharpen your knife. So when you are striking my neck with that knife, it can cut in one go. And then he also asked that don't lie me flat on my back, but lie me on my chest. So you don't have to see my face, therefore have mercy upon me and not be able to carry out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, this is beyond words, Sayyidi. And then Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, despite all of this, he is not deterred from following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is still going to sacrifice his son. He tries in an attempt to sacrifice his son. But ultimately we do know that Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam was not sacrificed. It did not happen. So Sayyidi, how was then Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam safeguarded by the divine will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And yet his sacrifice was accepted in the court of Allah, yet he wasn't sacrificed.
Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. It is the firm intention and the action of the Blessed Father, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the Blessed Son, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, that Ismail alayhi salam was laid upon the ground. Ibrahim alayhi salam had taken the knife in his hand. He had placed it to the neck of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. At this point, the sacrifice had been made. It's only that the knife did not cut. This teaches us so well that when he ran the knife upon the neck of his son, it did not cut. The nature of the knife is to cut. That's the work of the knife. But everything, even within its nature, only functions by the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that that knife did not cut. Rather, Sayyidina Jibra'il Amin alayhi salam, the leader of the Malaika, was commanded to take a ram from Jannah, bring it to the land, bring it to the earth, and replace Sayyidina Ismail ala Nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam with that ram, that the ram be sacrificed instead of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla, when Sayyidina Jibra'il alayhi salam came at that speed to go to Jannah and to come to earth with that ram and replace Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam with that ram, and that ram to be slaughtered instead, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam immediately understood that this was a test from Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal had put me through this test, and Allah Azza wa Jal had accepted my actions, and Allah Azza wa Jal has sent this fidya, this compensation, this replacement of the ram in place of my son. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, my son is safe. This was an accepted, is an accepted sacrifice. It is not that they did not do their part. They did their part right to the end. It is Allah's wisdom and Allah's love and Allah Ta'ala teaching us the lessons Subhanallah, that Allah Azza wa Jal showed that He Azza wa Jal had granted them a replacement and the ram was sacrificed instead. But when the Muslims look towards the sacrifice, we learn the lessons of sacrifice, that our work is to do as per the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that our work is to do as per the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for acceptance, and Allah Azza wa Jal accepted that sacrifice. May Allah Azza wa Jal accept our every sacrifice.
Ameen. Jazakallah Sayyidi, mashallah. As you were mentioning the accounts, the beautiful accounts of how it transpired, subhanallah, I immediately remembered when I was little, my mother used to tell me all these waqiat of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And I remember she told me that, if Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam was sacrificed, then imagine we would have to sacrifice you in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And he says, look at the divine plan of Allah azza wa jal. Although we are slaughtering an animal, but the sense of sacrifice must be the same, matching up to or even close to the sacrifice of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And when we strike the knife on the animal, as Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he struck the knife on his son Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, he sacrificed not only his son, he sacrificed all the tricks of shaitan, he sacrificed his nafs. And this is what we need to do. When we are sacrificing our qurbani animals, we are not just sacrificing the qurbani animal, we are sacrificing our nafs that is in love with everything, all the worldly attachments, we let go of it. We're sacrificing shaitan and its tricks, because shaitan tried to stop Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam in many different ways. And shaitan never gives up. It's we who give up. We give up doing good deeds. If there are too many challenges, we just give up. Too much for me. But shaitan, he never gives up. It tries to snatch away your iman till your last breath. Allahu Akbar. But we, those who are supposed to fight this war against shaitan, we give up over every nitty and gritty thing. This should teach us. This is not all. There is more to it. The sacrifice that was presented by Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. There is a great lesson for us, for the generations to come, and all those who will come until the day of judgment. Sayyidi, mashallah, Munasab has mentioned beautifully. So now after this ram was placed there, and this ram came from Jannah, from heaven, and it was sacrificed, but the meat of this ram wasn't consumed by Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, as it is mentioned, but it was rather eaten by the vultures and beasts, animals, and so on. But the horn, subhanallah, it was taken and installed on the Holy Kaaba as a drain, and it became Mizab-e Rahmat, the drain of mercy, subhanallah. So that Mizab-e Rahmat, that also reminds us, if we go and look at the Holy Kaaba, the drain of the Holy Kaaba, it is where the Mizab-e Rahmat was, alhamdulillah. That is also the remembrance of the sacrifice of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. Sayyidi, but after this entire incident, the ram was slaughtered, but the sacrifice of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was accepted, though the physical sacrifice never took place. And the dream that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had seen on the 8th night of Zulhijjah, that dream, it came to fruition when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, with all his heart and mind, went to sacrifice his son Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. But it was the divine will of Allah Azza wa Jal that wasn't about to happen. Anyway, that wasn't the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the divine will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifested in Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam bringing the ram, replacing Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, and the qurbani of that ram was done, but the qurbani, the sacrifice of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam was accepted. So it is truly, as Muasab has said, that the intention, that's what counts in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that it's not the meat or the flesh or the blood of qurbani that reaches in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is our sentiment, the sense of sacrifice that is accepted in the court of Allah azza wa jal. Though he wasn't sacrificed, but the dream came true.
Subhanallah. Well, so this sacrifice we are talking about, I know if a parent is watching, parents normally, they sacrifice for their children. They will sacrifice, they will work those overtime hours. But what kind of sacrifice am I doing? Is it only related to worldly things, to make sure they get a good education, or we plan for their college, their university, we work the long hours? Okay, that's in its place. But what about sacrificing some of the time to bring them more into deen, to bring them more into living Islamic values, Islamic teachings? And for that, mashallah azza wa jal, Dawood Islami has so many different types of facilities, like Jamiatul Madina, Madrasatul Madina, even online, how many courses are available. So how about we sacrifice some time, our own time, and we give this mindset to our children to also sacrifice some time in the path of Allah azza wa jal. Like traveling on Madani Qafilas for Islamic brothers. So this sacrifice also has to feature in our lives. That, you know, as we sacrifice for dunyawi things, worldly things, sacrifice some time also for dini things and Islamic things as well.
Truly, we value something after we have gone a mile to achieve that thing. Easy comes, easy goes. And if you have something, you have achieved something, like you have earned your livelihood through your blood and sweat, then you try to make every penny count. Because why? You know what you had to go through to obtain that, what you have got, the iman that we have. We have to strive to safeguard this iman. We have received as a blessing, as a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if by the tricks of shaitan we were to do things or fall for things that are detrimental to our iman, although that is easy, the path to sins is easy. It's bed of roses. But the path to paradise, it is littered with challenges, with obstacles. If there is no sacrifice, then we can't tread this path. It is very hard. Inshallah azza wa jal, following into the pious predecessors, the beloved servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we gain this enthusiasm, you know. Actually, the human nature is that we are reluctant to follow or do something that wasn't done before. It is somehow our nature that, you know, if it wasn't done before, then we are reluctant to do it. Why do we read the accounts of pious predecessors, Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Awliya of Allah azza wa jal, to read their sacrifices, to read their accounts and their biographies? So we have an idea as to when I have to go through something like that, then I have an example to follow. And then ultimately the greatest example of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to follow. Sayyidi, alhamdulillah, we are discussing the great son of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, like father, like son. And mashallah, together both the father and the son, as we know, they partook in the reconstruction of the Holy Kaaba, subhanallah. And there is so much to it, but if you could please briefly enlighten us about the construction of the Holy Kaaba and mashallah, how the Holy Kaaba was reconstructed by the father Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam.
Mashallah, these are two blessed personalities whom Allah azza wa jal had selected to rebuild and to build the Kaaba Sharif, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, if anyone is selected to build a masjid, that person is so fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of them in the Holy Quran, that he's spoken specifically, made mention of those who build the houses of Allah. Look at these special personalities who built that great house of Allah Azza wa Jal that the entire world flocks to, the Kaaba Sharif. Allah Azza wa Jal had given them the command to build the Kaaba Sharif, and they together had partook in the building of the Kaaba Sharif, both father and son. And subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, as they were building the Kaaba Sharif, there were points, parts that they were to reach to build the Kaaba Sharif that were rather high. If you stand in front of the Kaaba to date, you stand in front of the Kaaba, you see it is quite a large building. It's got its own magnificence. Alhamdulillah, I've stood before, and many who have seen Kaabatullah will say that they've stood before skyscrapers, buildings that, you know, it feels like the top of the building is somewhere in the clouds. Huge buildings. But when you stand before Kaaba Sharif, really, you never felt smaller. There is no building, no matter how huge the structure is, that has the magnificence that the Kaaba has. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, building this Kaaba Sharif, as they got to certain points, they could not reach just by standing upon the ground. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was blessed with a stone from Jannah. That stone from Jannah is known today as Maqam. Maqam means the place of standing. The Maqam of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Maqam Ibrahim. Ibrahim alayhi salam would stand upon that stone. Two stones were sent from Jannah at that time. One was the Maqam Ibrahim, the stone at which he stood alayhi salam, and his blessed footprints are on that stone as well, that Allah Azza wa Jal made that stone soft to take in the print or the imprints of the feet of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the other is what we know today as Hajr-i Aswad, the black stone. Hajr-i Aswad, when this stone came from Jannah, that was placed in the Kaaba. And the Maqam-i Ibrahim, the place of the standing of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that was placed close to the Kaaba. Allah Azza wa Jal loves these stones as well so much. The Hajr-i Aswad, there is no doubt that Allah loves it. Muslims flock from around the world to kiss that blessed stone, to do istilam. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed lips touch that blessed stone. And Maqam Ibrahim, with its connection to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam as well, became so beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal, that it is placed in the mataf, in the area where people do tawaf, and we are commanded to stand behind Maqam Ibrahim and perform two rak'at of nafil salah worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How beloved this is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal had referred to that stone as well by which title? It could have been many titles. You could say it is a stone from Jannah. But Allah Azza wa Jal referred to it as the place of standing of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the maqam of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah Ta'ala showed us that this is the speciality of that stone as well. And subhanAllah, they constructed the Kaaba, and Allah Azza wa Jal had commanded them to keep that area, the Kaaba Sharif and its surroundings, pure for those who will do ruku', for those who will do i'tikaf. And thus, through that we also learn, as they were instructed to take care of that holy masjid, we too must follow suit in taking care of every masjid, every house of Allah Azza wa Jal throughout the world. Allah give us tawfiq to make amal.
Ameen, bijahin nabiyil ameen, subhanallah, jazakullah Sayyidi. You have truly enlightened us, and hope our viewers have enjoyed today's episode and program, mashallah. As we have come to the conclusion of our today's episode and program, inshallah Azza wa Jal, it is an ongoing series, and there are many more episodes to come. So brace yourself, inshallah Azza wa Jal. And for now, we shall take your leave. Until then, keep reciting Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Hajj journey complete, sacrifice marks the day. Eid al-Adha spread, lights the believer's way. Eid al-Adha spread, lights the believer's way.